Welcome to the Mummy Fit Time podcast. Nikki here, the host of the Mummy Fit Time podcast, owner of Mummy Fit Time, coach, speaker, educator, mum, and health advocate. If you would like to find out more about Mummy Fit Time, please feel free to check out the link in the show notes. Or you can join our free support community group on Facebook. The free community support group on Facebook provides not only tips and advice on your own health and fitness journey, but also provides a range of other health support so that you can become a more productive and well-rounded person. If you love this podcast, I would absolutely love it if you could please leave a review and a rating. Now let's get on with the show. Enjoy. Hello and welcome to this episode. So in this episode, it's just me chatting with you and I'm sharing a live webinar that I did a couple of weeks back in Facebook where I discuss three main things, which is working from home and how to actually work from home based on my own experiences over the last 2 years. I also talk about homeschooling and how you can juggle this whole idea of homeschooling and working from home. And believe you me, it's not easy. So it's not the perfect answer, but I do discuss ways that you can try to manage the workload and also ways that we can reduce the impact of stress on our body. So sit back and enjoy, and I hope you get some really good tools and tips from this episode.
In terms of negotiating this whole new world that we're in. Because not only are we in isolation, you've got a whole lot more things happening on your plate. So just excuse me if I do look like I'm flicking across screens. It's because I do have some notes, because I wanted to make sure that I didn't forget any of the really important things that I wanted to talk to you about. So let's just start off with a quick introduction of who I am. My name is Nikki Kinnearum and I am the owner of Mummy Fit Time, but I'm not just I am a health and fitness professional, but that's not my only role. So I also work a corporate job and I've been in that corporate job for about 14 years now. Of that time, I've been working from home for the last 2 years in that same corporate role. So I've got a bit of experience already with working from home. In terms of schooling, well, no, I don't homeschool my children. They're off to school and to childcare. However, in a past life, I am actually a qualified primary school teacher. So I've got a bit of experience there when it comes to education, but not only education with primary students, I've also taught teachers. So I've been in there teaching pre-service teachers who are at uni training to be teachers. So I've got a bit of experience in that area too. And then the main thing I've got experience in, which I'm sure you've all got the same experience in, is juggling things, particularly if you've got children or competing priorities as well. So that's a little bit of an overview of me. So let's get stuck into it. Let's talk about this whole working from home gig and how we can actually be productive. Now, I've broken tonight's seminar up into three core pieces that I am wanting to cover. And the first one is working from home, because that's where a lot of us, the space that a lot of us are in at the moment. And then I'm going to move through to homeschooling for those people that are in that situation as well. Also acknowledging that there are some people watching this seminar that are not in that situation, but the working from home information is absolutely relevant. And the two core things that I am sharing here, which is the working from home and the homeschooling, all of the tips that I'm going to share in this seminar can be applied to everything else that is going on in your life. So working from home, so we've got many distractions going on. So it may be kids and your kids are home with you. It may be that you're now working from home with your partner, as well as going to say parents. Maybe you are working from home with your parents there as well. I'm in a situation right now where my partner is also working from home, and he usually travels 50% of the time for his job. So we're negotiating a whole new dynamic right now with us both working from home. And then we've got the small, less obvious things that you might be juggling at home or being distracted by as well, such as housework that might be calling out to you, or a TV that might be calling out to you, or a beautiful sunny day that might be calling out to you, and you're at home working, but you really want to be doing those other tasks as well. So let's talk about how you can actually work from home and still be productive. And so the first one that I want to cover off is setting your day. I know it's super tempting to get up in the morning and just wander into wherever your workspace is and start working straight away in your jammies, and then just sort of ramble through your day. But it's really important that you set up your day, and that means following your usual routine that you usually would. Yes, probably getting dressed would be a wonderful thing to do to kickstart your day, as would all the other things that you would do in your usual day-to-day routine when you are going to your job. Now, working from home, we don't actually have those incidental conversations that we have with our colleagues. So when, you know, when you're in your job, you arrive at your desk, and you have incidental conversations with your colleagues around how your morning's been, or things that might be happening at work or whatnot. So we're not having those incidental conversations so much anymore. And for a lot of us, that becomes really ingrained in our morning routine. Having that conversation with person A over, while you're in the kitchen having your coffee first thing in the morning. Walking into work with your cup of coffee in the morning, they are habits that become really ingrained in us. And when we're not performing those habits, we can be thrown out with our day. So try to retain some of those habits there. And if it's those incidental conversations, maybe what you can do is aim to check in with a colleague still. So check in with a phone call, check in through Skype, or just a simple message or an email saying, "Hey guys, I'm in the office now. I'm at my desk working and ready to go." Because having that conversation, and there's also a bit of accountability there, letting someone know that you're there and that you're ready to start your day, is super beneficial for when you are working from home. So now let's talk about chunking your day. So this is a way for you to remain productive. So a lot of us, particularly if you've got children at home at the moment, or you've got other competing priorities happening at home at the moment for you, is we try to multitask. And multitasking isn't something that we do a lot when we're in the office or in an office space. It might feel like we're multitasking. For example, if someone walks into the room while you're on the phone and you just quickly talk to that person and then continue on with your phone conversation, that might seem like you're multitasking, but what you've done is you've done two different steps, and they've broken down into two different steps there, or two different processes. The multitasking that I am talking about is doing something such as, it might be brushing your hair while you're talking on the phone. And that multitasking can really happen if you are doing one activity that requires very little brain capacity. You don't really need to think about brushing your hair. So you can put your focus on that conversation going ahead. But if you were trying to talk on the phone and sort out your stockpile, well, that's a bit harder to do and very hard to multitask, because you've got to be concentrating on the phone conversation that's happening at that time, and also the stockpile that's there, and trying to sort out the colours and the shapes and the sizes and whatnot. So when we're using that additional brain capacity, our focus on both of the tasks that are happening at the time lower. So yes, you might get the job done, but you might not get the job done as productively. It lowers productivity, basically. So that's one thing that you need to keep in mind in terms of chunking away your day and trying to trying to avoid multitasking through your day and rather focusing on chunking, which is finding set blocks of time to focus on something. So set blocks of time to focus on this meeting, set block of time to focus on this particular task. And those set amounts of time could be 10 minutes, it could be 30 minutes, but you want to try to do those without interruption. Now, I know that all of you that are homeschooling are having a little snort at that and going, well, that's impossible. And I get you with that one. We're going to talk about that a little bit further in just a moment. Another part of chunking away your day is trying to, keep up, a bit of a schedule as well in your day, focusing on, well, this is the chunk of time that I'm going to set aside for my lunch break. This is the chunk of time I'm going to set away to helping the kids with their schoolwork, or making lunch, or making breakfast, or whatever it might be. Now, my third tip in terms of working from home, and I'm just talking about working from home here. I'm not talking about trying to do the homeschooling side of things or the juggling of everything else at the moment. These are merely tips for working from home, and this might be if we are in that blissful environment where we don't have any of those distractions. But if you do have those distractions, bear with me, because we are getting to how you can work with those as well. So my third recommendation with working from home is to unplug technology. So when you are starting to feel really overwhelmed, try to turn down the background noise that is in your life by unplugging some of the electronic equipment. So I'm talking about TV, radio, dishwasher, washing machine, etc. Social media, do not have your phones sitting next to you at your desk, because that is mighty, mighty distracting. There's two reasons why we want to have the technology or unplug from the technology. One is the distraction that I just mentioned there, particularly social media. And the other is the white noise from the technology can actually cause your body to become stressed, which then creates feelings of overwhelm. So that's something to keep in mind, particularly when you are feeling quite overwhelmed with all the tasks that you need to do. And my fourth tip when it comes to working from home is to take regular breaks. Now, there's a reason why HR policies mandate a break after every 5 hours. It's not because they want to be nasty and keep you at work longer. It really is because you need to have that break. I know it seems really tempting to work straight through, and in some situations you might need to do that, but it's likely that you're going to leave later in the day, your energy is going to feel quite depleted later on in the day because you have not had that brain break. You have not had that step away and that physical break from whatever you're doing. Your brain needs a break. So, breaks. You can take regular stretch breaks through your day. You can walk from one end of the house to the other. You can go check the letterbox, even if you've already checked that letterbox already through your day, and schedule in those breaks. That's really important too. So, with the scheduling in your breaks, what you can do is plan something for your break. So you might like to personally what I like to do is try to squeeze in as much housework as possible during my lunch break. It might be, okay, I'm on a 5 minute break time. Usually when I'm in the office, I'd head down to the cafe right now and grab a coffee. I'm going to boil the kettle and I am going to do 50 squats because I'm an exercise professional. So I'm just going to throw that one in there and throw some incidental exercise in there as well. Why not? My very last tip when it comes to working from home is setting boundaries. So just because you're working from home doesn't mean that you are available 24/7. So you need to make it really clear with your colleagues what your working hours are. And if you're on your lunch break, let someone know or let your team know that you're on your lunch break. So you do have that time that's undisturbed. Okay, or if you're clocking off for the day, let them know that you're clocking off. They need to be respectful of your time and the time that you were allocating to work, but you also need to be very clear with your boundaries so that they're aware of those things as well. So they're my quick tips in regards to working from home and how to actually do this whole working from home thing. Let's now talk about homeschooling and how we can actually homeschool our kids as well as work from home and balance all of that stuff that's going on in there. So the first thing with homeschooling is I really want to stress here that you're not alone, okay? So there's people all over the country, people all over the world that are suddenly trying to homeschool their children. And I read a really great caption the other day, which is, excuse me, I've got a dry throat and I filled up my drink bottle and forgot to bring it into the office with me. So the caption that I read the other day was that we are not homeschooling, we are crisis schooling. So we're not expected to become teachers. It took me 4 years of uni, actually five because I went part-time, to become a teacher. Okay, so we're not expecting you to become a teacher overnight. But what you can do is continue to help and support your children learn. And here's some quick tips for helping you to do that, as well as try and tie in some of that working from home and the juggling of everything else that you're trying to do in your day. So the first one is trying to set a routine. So like working from home, try to continue that normal routine. So if that means getting up for brekkie and getting dressed and making beds, etc., before a school day would normally start or before a daycare day would usually start, then do that. When I say do that, I want you to keep in mind that stick to the routine that you wouldn't usually do before formal schooling or formal learning starts for the day. So formal learning would be the trying to continue on with the lessons that you, say your children's teacher has set, or the time that they need to log into whatever online learning platform that they have set for them, or whatever that might be. But one thing I do want to really emphasize here is that I want you to let go of the expectation that learning takes place between the hours of 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. If you've gone to school, and generally if you've gone to school in Australia, you've probably gone through a school system which starts at 9 a.m. and ends at 3 p.m. or starts at a certain time in the day, ends at a certain time of the day. It's okay to start learning earlier in the day, and you could have a 2-hour break in the middle of your day if you need to get on with the other jobs that you as an adult need to get on with. And it's also okay to do some learning in the afternoon or in the evenings or on a weekend. Those things are okay. You do not need to stick to that 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. schedule. When I say keeping a routine, you need to allow that flexibility in your day. So you need to set your routine, but keep that flexibility so that you can, you can keep that routine but be flexible where you need to, particularly if you've got work meetings or deadlines for your job, or you just need to get some housework done. Or you might have a younger child than a school-aged child that needs some attention. It's really important to note that a routine is very different to a schedule. Okay, very important to note there. So my second point is embracing flexibility there. So what I mean by embracing flexibility, and I did mention it just a second ago, is if you've got critical work tasks or something that really requires your focus, where you can try to do those in the times where your kids are completely engaged in a task that they're doing. So if that is watching TV or playing outside or building a Lego tower, or if they're an older child that might be reading a book, then embrace that calm time to get the important work that you need to do done in that important time slot. Now, I know some days are absolutely crazy and your children may not be focused, or they might be too little to be focused for a long period of time. And that's where we tie in chunking your time through the day. Okay, and that's really important to find those little chunks of focus time for you and for your children. Then you can use the less focus time. So for example, where children might be switching between doing certain tasks in their school day, or it might be when you're trying to entertain younger children as well, use that less focused time to work through the less critical work for yourself if you are also trying to work from home. So the stuff that you can be doing two things at once. And that's where I mentioned earlier the multitasking, but not really multitasking. It's the things that you are able to do side by side, so the two separate tasks. My third tip when it comes to homeschooling is organize for success. And by organize, I don't mean schedule, okay? Just be aware of your day ahead. Do you have a work meeting that you need to be on the phone for? Do you have children's a particular piece of work that your children need to have finished in that day? Just be aware of those things and schedule your children's activities to work either side of these things. So for example, for me personally, if I've got a meeting or if I'm with a client and my children are at home with me, that's their iPad time. I try to restrict screen time, sure, but you know what, at the end of the day, if that's going to keep them focused and it's going to allow me that focus time where I need to focus on my particular work, well then that's how it's going to be. And then either side of that time that my children are focusing on their task, in my case it's iPad, then do some focused one-on-one time or focused one-on-two time or whatever, however many children you have, but some focused time with your children either side of that critical time that you need just then. And that's going to help the children feel like they're like included in their day. That's going to give them a sense of empowerment, and that's also going to feel like help them to feel like they're not just a person in the background, a person getting in the way, basically. So that focus one-on-one time, they're really going to thrive from that time as well. So that is, I guess, the planning for success or organizing for success. But another tip that I do have, and this comes as my experience as a teacher and also my experience trying to work and have my three-year-old home, because I'm going to be very honest here, he does not have the attention span to do focused schooling time like my older child who is being homeschooled at the moment. So in this case, what you need to have is a list of backup activities. A list of activities for your children to do when things basically hit the fan and they're either not engaging in whatever content that you had set out for them to consume at that time, and you really need them to just focus on something, or you just need a little bit of peace and quiet so that you can get on with your work. So have your list of backup activities so that if something's not working, you can go, okay, I need you to do this. Or, for example, you know that, or you get a phone call come in for work that you need to address. You can then quickly just give your backup activity. It might be some colouring in. It might be a dot to dot. But just hand that to your children. Get that to do while you're doing what you need to do for your work, basically. My fourth tip for homeschooling, and I hope you enjoy this one, go hide. And I'm actually only half joking with this go hide, because this is something I do regularly. And that is, if I've got to schedule something in, or if I need to attend to an important call or an email, I'll go to the toilet and hide. I put my foot against the door, or I might be in my bedroom if it's a phone call, because you know, no one wants to hear that echo of the toilet. And I'll lean against my bedroom door and attend to whatever important task is that I need to attend. I mean, obviously, if you've got a 3-month-old child or even a 1-year-old child, that might not be the optimal thing to be doing. But I'm talking about my children that are school age, they're my 3-year-old there, that can cope for 5 minutes while I'm just dealing with whatever it is that I need to deal with. So those are my tips there. Now let's have a quick chat about juggling it all. I'm just going to stop for a second and see if anyone's got any comments so far on this live. I can see Josie's watching, so thank you, Josie, for joining me. Does anyone have any comments so far or questions? A bit hard to see. Facebook's got a new system for lives when you're doing it off a computer. So I'm not seeing, I can't see who's actually joining me live. All right, let's talk about juggling it all, shall we, and how we can actually juggle it all. So the short answer is we can't juggle it all. Sorry, I hate to disappoint you if you were hoping I was going to give you some magical answer here, but we can't juggle it all. And I have read this book by Rachel Hollis, and she talks about Instagram people and celebrity people that look like they're juggling it all. And what you see is completely different to what might actually be happening. And those people that answer when someone asks them, how are you juggling it all? And their answer is, oh, I'm just extremely organized. You know what? They're probably not juggling at all, or if they are, they're outsourcing. And this is what Rachel Hollis says in her book that I have read, which is called Girl, Stop Apologizing. They're probably outsourcing. But we are in isolation. We can't necessarily outsource at the moment. So juggling it all is going to seem a little bit impossible and may very well be a bit impossible at the moment. But here are some things that you can do. And the first one is taking control. So I'm talking about here changing the things that we can and accepting the things that we can't change for now, okay? Because studies have shown that when you feel that you're in control of your life, your stress decreases, and when life feels out of your control, your stress increases. So at times of high stress or overwhelm, particularly when you feel like you're trying to juggle everything, one of the most simple things you can do is take control of something. Now, control is about perception. So you might not, let's say we're going for a walk, okay? You might be able to control whether you decide to go for a walk or not today, but you can't control what might happen on that walk. For example, if it gets windy or rainy. So let's put that into a work context or a homeschooling context. You can control what activities for homeschooling you are planning on getting through today, but you can't choose the outcome. You can't choose how your child is going to react to those activities, and you can't choose how your child is going to learn those activities. Okay, you can choose how you're going to teach them, but you can't choose the way that your child learns and the different things you might need to do to support them on that learning journey. Same with work. You might have your day planned out, as you would if you were going into the office, and then an urgent email comes in that changes your course directly for the day. So you've chosen to do what you can in your day, you just can't control the other things that are coming in, such as urgent work or things like that. You can't control that, but you can take control of what you choose to do in your day. Hope that makes sense. Another thing that you can do is let go of expectations. So I'm going to take a bit of a stab in the dark here, because you're working from home, or you may not be working from home, you're homeschooling and you've got all these other things going on. I'm guessing that you've got pretty high expectations of yourself. So you're probably right now trying to keep up to your usual standards, and going about that could seem quite impossible. In fact, it probably is almost impossible right now. And this goes for work, this goes for homeschooling, this goes for housework and everything in between, because you are only one person. So you need to understand that some things are not going to be perfect right now. You need to let go of expectations around what you expect things to look like and take control of things that you can control. Now I'm just going to touch very briefly on stress release, because exactly when we are working from home, when we are trying to homeschool, when we are trying to juggle the housework and everything else that you're trying to do and working extended days to try to get all that crammed in, you're probably going to feel a little bit stressed. So let's talk about ways that you can release that stress, because stress builds on stress and stress builds on stress and stress builds on stress. And then you bubble over because you can't become completely overwhelmed. We want to stop you from becoming completely overwhelmed and release some of that stress so you're not up here all the time, you're about down here. One of the things you can do is really deep belly breaths. So what you can do for your belly breaths is you take a deep breath in. For example, you might breathe in 1, 2, 3, 4 and exhale for longer than it took for you to breathe in. Exhale 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And do that a couple of times. You might do it for 10 minutes, you might do it for 30 seconds. But those deep belly breaths really help in resetting your nervous system and just calming you down. Brings your stress levels right down. The next one, the next tip is, it's a yoga move. I cannot pronounce the name of the yoga move. I'm going to try to. Viparita Karani. All those people that do yoga out there are probably laughing at me right now. But what it is legs up on the wall. So it's really calming and it's very restorative. And all you do is you put your legs up on the wall, lay your back down on a surface, and allow the blood to flow back down to your vital organs and through your nervous system. And if you do that with some deep breathing, that is going to lower your stress levels immensely. Some other tips to help reduce some stress is to get out in nature, because that's really amazing for our body. It's really important, particularly if you're working from home. In fact, this applies to working in any space where you are surrounded with technology. If you're homeschooling and surrounded with technology, really important that you get out into nature, because that brings down your energy vibrations. Brings, I know I'm gonna sound a bit woo-woo and crazy here, but brings down the vibrations that you may be experiencing from technology, because that's quite a high frequency, and brings you back to a calm state, which is what you find in nature. Now, I really hate to say this one, because I always say this when I do talk about stress release, but caffeine, coffee. I have taken up since being in self-isolation, so I've started drinking coffee, and I don't normally drink coffee because it gives me anxiety. And what have I experienced in return for drinking that coffee? Heightened anxiety. Fancy that. So basically what caffeine does is helps get your adrenal glands flowing. It sets off adrenaline, which is one of your stress hormones, and or not sets off, but it produces, it sends a message to the adrenal glands to produce adrenaline. And that adrenaline commences the flight or fight response within your body, which is elevated stress hormones, pretty much. So basically, by drinking coffee or having a lot of caffeine, you're going to feel like you are in flight or fight, okay? And that could be why you're experiencing some things such as, I've got to homeschool, I've got to work from home, I've got to do the housework, I've got to try to cook dinner, I've got all these things going on, I can't possibly cope. I'm not saying don't drink coffee, particularly if you've got young kids and you're up through the night, that might be your morning lifesaver, but just be conscious of how caffeine helps you to feel. And the last thing I'm going to leave you with in terms of reducing stress, but this is also really important points in terms of homeschooling and working from home, is exercise. And now, I mean, this is my jam, being a health and fitness professional, right? But exercise. When your sympathetic nervous system is activated, the adrenaline, cortisol, and glucose in your body or in your blood escalates. Okay? And all of this helps with that fight or run when you're in danger. Okay? So those stress hormones are elevated here. But much of the stress that we've got going on isn't a result of being in danger. You're not actually in danger. Your body's just perceiving that you are in danger. So your body actually fills up with energy, and the best way to release that energy is through exercise. So exercising pretty much mops up the effects of the stress hormones and helps your body return to a state of homeostasis. Yes, I said that correctly. So I hope that helps in terms of how you can reduce the stress that's going on that you might be experiencing in your life as well.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mummy Fit Time podcast. I would absolutely love it if you could help me share this message with more people, and you can do that by clicking a rating on this podcast episode. The more ratings I get, the more I am able to share this message with more people, more mums just like you. If you would like to find out more about Mummy Fit Time, feel free to pop over to my website. It's www.mummyfittime. That's spelt mummefittime.com.au. Catch you next time on the podcast.